If you're taking a calcium supplement, it's probably not doing what you think it is. That's because you still lose bone density with traditional calcium supplements. That's where calcium from algae comes in. AlgaeCal Plus doesn't just stop bone loss. It's the only supplement ever shown to increase bone density in clinical studies. That's right. AlgaeCal Plus increases bone density, even if you're in your 80s. That's because your bones need more than just calcium and vitamin D to stay strong. There are actually 13 minerals and 3 vitamins needed to build healthy new bone, and AlgaeCal Plus contains all of them, and it's proudly made in the USA. Your calcium doesn't increase bone density. AlgaeCal Plus does. Talk to one of our bone health consultants today and see how AlgaeCal Plus can start increasing your bone density. Call now.
800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. That's 800-437-8217.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
That is just a fact of life.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history, Pedro Fernandez.
Woo, it's going to be good.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Often imitated, but never duplicated. 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, was ranked nationally as a boxer, and I'm an award-winning writer, so I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? The average fan, they know a little bit more. So I open up the text line at the top of each hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide just for you to text us here in the studio. You get your point across. Straight up, the text number, 415-275-1613. The studio text line, once again, 415-275-1613. Of course, we are a week removed from Tyson Fury knocking out Dillian White. I told you, Dillian White had two chances, slim and none, and both got, and Slim's out of town. And at the end of the day, of course, it was a knockout in five. Nice and uppercut for the heavyweight champion of the world, Tyson Fury. Talk of retirement, Francis Ngannou, of course, an MMA fight, all kinds of crazy stuff. Straight up, Tyson Fury will fight again, I believe. Of course, tonight, Shakur Stevenson, the 2016 Olympic silver medalist, taking on the two-time Mexican Olympian, the WBC super featherweight champion, 130-pound champion, Oscar Valdez. The Battle of the O's tonight by Top Rank on ESPN. Who's going to win? We'll talk with Boxing's PhD, Soccer News Palmer, after the break. Once again, you can text us here in the studio. The number, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217. Straight up, we're all over the world. iHeartRadio, as I said, and Twitch.tv. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Veev TV as well. Straight all over the place.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-811-7913. 800-811-7913. 800-811-7913. That's 800-811-7913.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. That's 800-215-6812.
Do you own a timeshare? Well, face the facts. You made a mistake. You made a bad purchase. A timeshare is not an investment. It's a money pit that continues forever. If you use your timeshare, that's great. But if you don't and you want to legally get out of your contract, call my friends right now at the Timeshare Exit Hotline. They're an experienced team of lawyers who help good people like you get out of a timeshare contract that they just don't want. Don't throw away your money on maintenance fees. Use it for things you really want. We can help you end your timeshare contract and stop the money drain immediately. If you're ready to move on with your timeshare, call our team right now.
Cancel your timeshare now with a free call.
800-824-5131. 800-824-5131. 800-824-5131. That's 800-824-5131.
Now, more Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Tom T. Tolliser on the sax there. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking through the world of boxing and MMA, of course. We'll talk about the Tyson Fury fight in the next segment. Of course, tonight we've got ESPN going to Battle of the O's. I'm talking about Oscar Valdez, 30-0, taking on the 17-0, considered the favored fighter. I'm talking about Oscar Shakur Stevenson, 2016 Olympic silver medalist. Of course, didn't get the gold. Floyd Mayweather didn't get the gold. Of course, he got the bronze, but that was a bit of a mistake, as did Roy Jones, only getting the silver in that year. Of course, he deserved to have the gold. So straight up, sometimes not getting the gold medal, it's not really indicative of how far you're going in the world of boxing. Now, tonight, Shakur Stevenson, of course, a slight favorite. We'll find out right now as we bring in boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. Sock, what do the odds look like tonight? 30-0 versus 17-0.
Well, right now, Shakur Stevenson is a huge favorite. He is, at in some sports books, I've seen 7-1, 8-1, and even as high as 9-1. So if you're looking for value, Oscar Valdez could very well be take a good flyer. You know, I've never seen in a unification bout a champion just totally be dismissed, you know, by not just by odds makers, but just by guys like you and me that love and talk the sport on a weekly basis, by other fighters, by managers, writers. It's really like, wow, like it's just a formality that Shakur Stevenson is going to walk over Oscar Valdez.
I don't see it as a formality. Oscar's 30-0, of course, 23 knockouts. The young man, Shakur Stevenson, 2016 Olympic silver medalist, as I said earlier, 17-0, 9 KOs. Shakur's got a 2-inch advantage in height. I think that Oscar Valdez is going to have to go back the old Mexican route here. I mean, this is a Mexican versus a, I hate to put it to you like this or to classify it like this, but this is sort of like a Mexican fighter with a jab versus an American fighter, a black American fighter. You feel me on that?
No, 100%. I mean, listen, we keep it real on this program. That's why we're the best. And Oscar Valdez is not the prototypical face-first Mexican brawler. He is a good, good boxer. And he was a former Olympian himself.
Two-time.
Yes, that's right. In 2012 and I think it was 08.
08.
08 and 12. Mm-hmm. And I think what's happening is a little bit of recency bias. You know, about a year ago, Oscar Valdez was a catch me out. The way what he did to Brichelt, he destroyed him. Yep. Outboxed him. And then he flattened him. Then he had the issue with the PEDs. He still fought. and he looked very ordinary against Consencio. Some people thought that he got a gift. Maybe he did. I think he did just enough to win. And then if you go on the other side, Shakur Stevenson, his last performance, he looked amazing. He dismantled Jamal Herring, outclassed him, and just outmanned him. But before that, he had two very ordinary performances. You know, so I think it's a little bit of recency bias. And yes, Shakur Stevenson is the blue chip prospect. He's the guy with the 7-year age advantage, which is a lot, especially at the lower weight classes. Certainly a guy with less mileage on his body. He's probably lost maybe about 4 or 5 rounds his whole pro career so far. You know, so I think people are really selling Oscar Valdez short. And I would not be shocked if Oscar Valdez pulls out a close decision.
Rodney Dangerfield, he's the Rodney Dangerfield of boxing. I mean, he had a didn't have a good night against Concepcion, the Brazilian 2016 Olympic gold medalist, of course, who he lost to in the amateurs, I believe. Didn't have a good night against him, but, you know, how can I put this? I think he's determined to at least go out, I don't want to say on his shield, but go out there and give it 300%. I think Oscar Valdez, you're going to see the very best of Oscar Valdez against Shakur Stevenson. And I wouldn't expect anything less from Stevenson. But I'm telling you, having beat black guys, big, tall, lean black guys, I know how to do it. And I think Oscar Valdez is a whole lot more proficient at it than I am. Okay? I mean, you just got to whack him in the arms. You got to start whacking him on the arms. If you can't hit him clean in the body, hit him on his arm joints, on the elbows. Start hitting him below the triceps. Hit him hard. First thing you want to do when you step across the ring, Oscar Valdez, is let him know, bang, I am here. I'm not no punk. I am here, okay? Shakur Stevenson, on the other hand, he's got to come out and establish himself as well right away as a superior boxer. Now, there may be some give and take here, and if there is give and take, on the give and take side, how can I put this? Although Stevenson is younger, he's got good, better, man, some people think he's got better hands and things like that. I think as far as catching is concerned, we don't know how well he catches yet because he hasn't caught against world-class opposition yet. I mean, he's had the Demetrius Andrade route to the title, but he hasn't had a whole lot of rough fights yet.
No, I think you're spot on. Joette Gonzalez, the one that was like the personal, you know, had the backstory, he shut him out completely. Yep. But then you see Gonzalez is actually a pretty good fighter. You know, I thought he was horrible that night, but he's gone on after that and made good showings of himself. And then Jamal Herring, who was a grown man, and he whooped him.
Yikes on the Jamal Herring thing. I mean, yeah, that was Shakur's, I think that was his brightest moment. But, so, you know, then again, let's talk about Herring. I think he was over 30 years old and closer to 35 than 30, correct?
Yes. Okay. Because of the time in the service,
it's like Canelo when he picks opponents. He's got to make sure. he's got to make sure they're old enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, matchmaking is what makes stars, you know. But this is, you know, and yes, they're both undefeated, but definitely one guy's had the tougher route. He's, you know, been a pro about 6 years longer. Mm-hmm. And it's like dog years, right? You know, that's a long time.
You got a hell of a point here. But, you know, when at the end of the night, we're going to see what happens here when you've got two guys with totally different styles trying to impose their will on one another. Of course, it all boils down to in a boxing match, and I've said this 1,000 times, he or she who imposes their will is going to win the fight. So people ask me, you know, when you break down a boxing match, of course, you break down in the criteria the way the judges do, ring generalship, clean punches, defense, and of course, what is ring generalship? Somebody asked me that the other day, and I tried to explain it to him, and that's basically imposing your will and having control over the other opponent, correct?
Yeah, I mean, you're the DJ, basically, if you want to put it in that term. You know, you're gonna dictate how the fight is going to be played out. You know, you're going to engage when you want to. You're going to be able to control the distance. You're going to make the other guy uncomfortable. And I think that's what, if I was speaking to a Martian, what is ring generalship? That's what it is. You know, you're the boss in that ring, you know, and Shakur Stevenson is, I'm sure that's the first thing he's going to try to establish. If it's a chess match and it's a boring fight, Shakur Stevenson will win. You know, if it's a barn burner, if Valdez does what you say, bangs him to the body, bangs him on the arms, steps on his foot.
Yo, yeah.
Does what he needs to do. Make Shakur Stevenson know that he's in there against a grown man who's not going to just simply, you know, be the supported, you know, looking to be a supporting cast member on this Shakur Stevenson show.
You know, people laugh and they say that when we talk about stepping on each other's foot, I've stepped on a guy's foot and cracked them, and then they've like complained to the referee and are cracking them when they're complaining.
I'm not advocating to be dirty. I hate dirty fights.
No, wait. Timeout. I never stepped on a guy's foot that didn't have physical advantages over me. You know what I'm trying to say? In other words, I'm stepping on his foot because this guy's like 6'1" and gliding around the ring like Tommy Hearns. You know where I'm coming from? So there's either I step on his foot and stop him in one position or cut off the ring. And we were using 20-foot rings back then. Yikes, when you're 139 pounds, that's a big old ring. So, I would step on a guy's foot in order to keep him in place. Boom, just keep him in place. I remember one guy complained to the referee and I cracked him again. You know, always protect yourself at all times. So I remember the referee was telling him that between rounds. The guy was complaining, and the referees told me, hey, protect yourself at all times.
I mean, you get a warning, right? You get warnings, and that's just going to, you know, disqualify you if you happen to accidentally, air quotes, you know, step on the front toe. You know, you got to, it's at the end of the day, a fight is a fight, you know, and that's what Valdez needs to do. If he tries to get into Shakur's world, you know, he tries to outbox the younger, faster guy, he's going to be in for a long night.
You know, I put up a picture of myself and Brent Venegas, the referee who refereed my first Golden Glove title win, and I remember when I knocked the favorite guy down in the first round, 12 seconds in, I said, MF, get up, and he told me, if you swear again, I will disqualify you, and he pushed me back to the neutral corner, and last Friday night, we saw ourselves at an amateur event, and he remembered that, and I remember that, this and that. It's a poignant point in my life, no doubt about that, because he might have been able, I mean, if he'd have really, really wanted to, he could have disqualified me at that point in time. So, you know, I screamed it. Mama, MF, get up! Because he talked a lot of smack.
Sportsmanship is something that's definitely big in the amateur ranks.
Well, I understand, but it's still, and I tried to tell the guy, I told the referee at the end of the night, and I tell everybody, it's still fighting. We're still fighting here. There's no doubt about it. You are tuned to Ring Talk. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is combat sports. And remember, two things matter in combat sports. Size, size matters in combat sports and pornography. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live. We're all out of quest. Hours away from Shakur Stevenson and Oscar Valdez. What our cost? Say Oscar Valdez second. Should be Valdez Stevenson. Valdez, the more established professional. See what happens. 30-0 against 17-0. Some of these O's got to go. A 7-1 favorite, Shakur Stevenson, way, way, way out of line. We'll talk about the Tyson Fury title offense after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Have you written a book? You can become a published author with Dorrance Publishing, the nation's oldest publishing services company. Countless authors have trusted Dorrance for nearly 100 years to bring their book to the market. Our professional team will edit your text, design your book pages, and create an appealing, eye-catching custom cover. Plus, our authors benefit from a custom book promotion marketing campaign that makes your book available where people buy books, like Amazon and brick-and-mortar bookstores. So make this free call right now to claim your free author's guide to publishing. Don't wait another day. Take one step closer to realizing your dream of becoming a published author and seeing your name in print. You've already written a book, so the next thing to do is make this free call right now to Dorrance Publishing and get your free guide to publishing. Call right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Here's a simple solution for you. If you have back pain, knee pain, or any other pain in your body, it's as simple as drinking a glass of water every day. Your body is over 60% water, and drinking the best water you can get is crucial for your health. Echo Antioxidant Water, developed by Synergy Science, is the best water you can drink, and it's only available through this special radio offer. Over 1,000 research studies have shown that the powerful antioxidant used in Echo Antioxidant Water can reduce inflammation, improve brain function, help you sleep better, and boost gut health. With just 2 glasses a day, you can experience these benefits right from the comfort of your home. Some people have even replaced their morning coffee jolt with Echo Antioxidant Water. Call now and learn which Echo product by Synergy Science is right for you. We offer free shipping and a full 30-day money-back guarantee. Change your health by simply changing your water.
800-944-1789. 800-944-1789. 800-944-1789. That's 800-944-1789.
Let's say life knocks on your door and you need money to live on or pay bills. What do you do? Would your life be better if you were able to take the equity you've built in your home and spend it any way you want? Here's an idea. Call EasyKnock. They can help you convert the equity in your home into cash in just a few days. If your home is worth $100,000 or more, EasyKnock will buy it from you. You get the money you need, and you stay in your home as a renter. Plus, depending on your program, you can buy it back at any time. If you think you might not qualify, remember, they can say yes when your bank says no. Call EasyKnock now and get the cash you need out of your home.
EasyKnock is not a lender. Its products are not available in all markets. Terms and conditions apply.
800-245-9187. 800-245-9187. 800-245-9187. That's 800-245-9187.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Saw me a girl today, actually two girls today. They're going to get it on. Talk about Amanda Serrano, of course, and Miss Katie Taylor, of course, coming to us from the UK. The battle for the championship at 135 pounds. Amanda, of course, once beaten. Miss Taylor, of course, undefeated. The boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. I don't know, we've got stuff going on in the background here. Can you turn it off, please? Thank you. Socrates Palmer, how's the ladies' battle going down odds-wise?
Amanda Serrano, the hometown favorite, is a slight favorite. She's a plus 115. And it's probably, it may go down by the time fight time with the huge Irish fan base that Katie Taylor has. So it's probably going to be a coin flip by the time the first bell.
On paper, between you and I don't know. Don't you think Katie Taylor should be favored?
You would think so. I mean, but then again, Amanda Serrano has really, I mean, she's got that one loss, but it was such a long time ago. And if you look at the recent resume, once again, you know, hearkening back, who's looked better lately, you have to say it's Amanda Serrano.
Okay.
I mean, it's been said that Katie has fought the tougher competition. Now, Amanda's coming into Katie Taylor's weight class, which a lot of people are not, I don't think, holding too much weight, pardon the pun, taking that into account. But when the two ladies stand up next to each other, Amanda has the more athletic build. She looks taller. Katie's stockier. She's got a neck thicker than me. You know, she's very well put together. Both have a lot of experience. I think it's a coin flip. I really do. I think Amanda throws the straighter shots. Katie is a physically strong person, but she hasn't really shown knockout power. She's gone the distance with a lot of people lately. And you wonder if maybe the miles are kind of catching up to Katie Taylor.
Making the weight. That's what you guys don't realize. Making the weight after a long time, making the weight, that kills people.
Yeah, I mean, that could be a factor. She also had some injuries last year, too, okay. You know. So
looking at the rest of the female, before we go back to the Taylor-Serrano fight, Katie Taylor, Cianessa Estrada, Delphine Persson, Amanda Serrano, Marlon Esparza, Mikaela Meyer, Jessica Plata, Jessica McCaskill, who I'm very high on, Jackie Nava, Clarissa Shields. Who's the young lady that's going to take on Clarissa Shields next? She's from the UK, and of course she's a champion at 154 and 160. In fact, I think she's slightly favored to beat her, isn't she?
Yes, and they have a history in the amateurs. She is knocking people out. I am at a loss right now her name, but there's been a lot of trash talk going on back and forth, and apparently it's going to happen. Savannah Marshall and her are supposed to hook it up. Clarissa Shields is supposed to be in attendance tonight. And I always, you know, I respect Clarissa for what she's done, and even more props for her, you know, getting into MMA and, you know, she's legit. But her mouth, really makes it hard to root, to, you know, to be a fan of her. She's almost like that green-eyed, jealous, like, look at me, you know, she calls herself the GOAT, whatever. You know, she's a two-time Olympic gold medalist.
She calls herself the GOAT, and I'm with that because she does look like a GOAT to me. And I'm not talking about the greatest of all time either. You know, I'm looking through the top 15 here, the top 20. I don't see the girl that's going to fight that you just mentioned. I don't see her in the top 15.
On the pound for pound list.
Yeah.
She maybe has the least experience, but she certainly. I mean, highlight real material. She's comatose in these women, you know, and she's got the zone machine behind her, Eddie Hearn.
I think I'd be scared of that woman. I watched her fight and was punching like she punches like a man with male gloves on. I mean, you know, most women can't punch because of the fact they don't have the leverage. They're punching with a bigger glove, a heavier glove than a man. Actually, it's the same glove as a man, but since they have less muscle and less leverage than a man could put on a bunch, I think it's better with women with lighter gloves. Anyway, I've been talking about that for a long time.
By the way, and at the beginning of the negotiation, you actually reminded me, at the beginning of the negotiations for Serrano and Taylor, Serrano's camp requested 3-minute rounds, and Katie Taylor's camp said no.
Yeah, you know what? You know, should female fights be 3 minutes or should they be 2 minutes? And I'm sort of game for them being 2 minutes because they can throw a lot of punches in 2 minutes, and especially with those, they got the big gloves on, man. If you want to bring the gloves down, I think in size and put them in three-minute rounds, I'm cool with that. But right now, let's put them in 2-minute rounds because it's harder, unless you're a freak of nature, Ann Wolf and people like that, and the young lady we just mentioned, 160 pounds, you can't punch like a man. So what I'm trying to tell you is lighter gloves and or... You know, anyway, I'm into lighter gloves without a doubt.
I agree. And other sports, you know, that both, I mean, a female basketball is smaller than a man's basketball in the professional, the WNBA. Golf clubs, everything is tailored to gender. I would love for them to use smaller gloves. And if they want to meet halfway, maybe a 2.5-minute round, you know, but the shorter time in the rounds should breed for more action. And sometimes you do, you know, you get, there's a lot of women throw a lot of shots. You mentioned Estrada. She's a joy to watch. Ebony Bridges, you know, aside from her being an exciting fighter, she's a knockout physically. And so
Estrada's good to listen to. She's a decent fight analyst.
Yes, she is. You know, she's gotten, I think, on the zone she's been on, you know, and she's a pretty good fighter.
But how can this girl, Savannah Marshall, right?
Yeah.
How could she not be in the top 50? As far as BoxRec's concerned, the top 50. She's not in the top 50. This is an indictment of BoxRec.
Yes, it is. And someone was suing BoxRec, actually.
Are they really? Let's talk about that. Do you know who it is?
I know one of the guys, actually, and one of the first people I met when I first started, a manager named Charles Muniz and a couple of other people are suing them. I don't know exactly. I think it's for... what's it called? Not publishing accurate records or something like that, or I'll research it more. But I saw it about a few weeks back that there's a lawsuit against them.
Okay, Tyson Fury and Dillian White sort of went the way it was supposed to. I mean, I said I'll repeat myself. Slim wasn't in town. I mean, he didn't win much there. And of course, he was screaming at the end that the fight was stopped too soon. This and that. The guy's lucky he didn't get hurt.
Yeah, I mean, it really was a mismatch. Dillian White gave a good effort. You know, he was banging Fury in the arms and, you know, roughing him up. But that uppercut was wicked. There was a little bit of a push, though, after that uppercut, which, you know, might have helped, you know, some of the damage. But there was no way that Dillian White was going to win that fight. He was just too slow. And Tyson Fury, like I said, the only person that beats Tyson Fury is Tyson Fury.
Okay, I got to cut you off here because Bob Arum is talking about Terrence Crawford again, and it's not any good. He's saying that Terrence Crawford's mental fortitude will fail him against Errol Spence. I mean, can Bob kick this guy in the nuts any more than he has?
Oh, boy. You talk about an angry ex, you know. And, I mean, Bob, really? Come on. Let the fight happen because, you know, he's been on camera before, you know, praising Terrence Crawford, saying that he would beat Errol Spence. So that's really, take it with a grain of salt. And also, I think one thing you got to, I'm paying attention to, how long does Shakur Stevenson stay with Top Rank? Because him and Terrence Crawford are like, you know, he's almost like his mentor. And at the press conference, he had said that about the PED, the PEDs that went against Oscar Valdez, how he was still allowed to fight. And he threw some shade at Top Rank, you know, he's saying that he's their favorite and that, you know, if it was someone of my color, they wouldn't have let him fight. So I got my eye on that situation if he re-signs with Top Rank.
You know, real quick, I would love to go to Japan. Of course, I'm talking about June the 7th, I believe. Naneo Inoue, of course, and Nonito Donaire are going to hook it up at 118 pounds. Does Nonito have a chance here? I mean, he's longer in the tooth than he was the first time around.
Yes, he is. But he continues to defy logic. I think so. Excuse me. I believe that he will study that fight, you know, like nobody's business. He's a master technician. He seems to be getting better. He's getting older. I think he's got a heck of a shot. Just don't get hit. Okay. He's going to have to fight very cautiously.
Okay, real quick, on tonight's fight, I can see Oscar Valdez winning if he gambles. You have to gamble to win here. When you have the height disadvantage to you, you've got to do something to negate that height and speed disadvantage I think that he's at. As far as the Shakur Stevenson is concerned, he's got beautiful punching abilities as he can punch over and under guys' gloves and still not get caught in return. So, I mean, it's going to be a masterful event, and I'm hoping, put it this way, I'm hoping for a special event tonight. I'm not talking like Gomez Sanchez or Gomez and Pinto or something like that, but I would like tonight to be special.
Yeah, I mean, and they have the night. You know, it's on ESPN, the spotlight's on them, and I'm expecting for a really, really good fight.
Boxing's PhD Socrates Palmer, super dad as always. You're the greatest, man. Say hello to your kids. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, brother. Enjoy the fights. Have a great weekend.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, of course, on VTV and Twitch.tv.
A lonely man in a busy world. I try to get ahead, but too many times.
Do you love driving, but you don't love your car payment? Open Road Lending can reduce your car payment by as much as $100 a month or more. It's easy to refinance your car payment. Just call today to get your no-obligation quote and find out how much you can save. To qualify for a lower car payment, your car should be less than 10 years old, have less than 125,000 miles, and you've made at least 6 on-time payments. Call Open Road Lending today to learn how you can lower your rate and your payment by refinancing. It's easy, only takes a few minutes, and there's no cost or obligation to apply and get approved. Call today and see how much you can save. 800-871-9417. 800-871-9417. 800-871-9417. That's 800-871-9417. Terms and conditions apply. Financing is available with approved credit. See openroadlending.com for details. Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-209-6124. 800-209-6124. 800-209-6124. That's 800-209-6124. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess.
Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
It has been said that I have two alternatives. Either go to jail or go to the army.
I'm only bold and cocky before and after fighting.
Let me see you close your mouth and just keep it closed.
Well, you know that's impossible.
No, no, now keep it closed.
You know that's impossible. I'm the greatest. And I'm knocking out all bones. And if you get too smart, I'll knock you out.
Of course, the greatest Muhammad Ali circa 1962, back when he was Cassius Clay, of course, before the Muslim conversion of 1964. Let me tell you about that to an extent. You know, I asked Ali about that in depth, about the conversion to the Muslim faith and this and that, and why it was so controversial back then. He said is that the leader of the then Muslim movement, of course, was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who in Ali's mind was honorable, in the minds of other people, wasn't very honorable. Bottom line is, he sort of cast aspersions on the Muslim religion as far as the Muslim movement was concerned in the United States. But when Ali decided he was going to convert to being a Muslim and then step away from the draft, of course, in 1965, and they took away his title, of course, took away his opportunity to make a living, took away his, I mean, he couldn't even get a passport, wouldn't even let him leave the country. Bottom line, he was a prisoner. Of course, the Supreme Court said that he was right. They were wrong. He was a conscientious objector. He should have been allowed that kind of status, of course, but he wasn't. Bottom line is, he should have got the elevator, but he got the shaft and said, and you remember talking to him about it, he told me, you know, they wanted to use my name to lead other young men to slaughter, and I just wasn't going to do that. I mean, they weren't going to hurt me. They wasn't going to get me killed or anything like that. I wasn't going to have to get no trench nowhere, no. But the bottom line is, they were going to use my name to lead other young men to slaughter. That's how noble Muhammad Ali was. Speaking of fighters, of course, former heavyweight champion Tommy Morrison, his kid was in action last night. I'm talking about Kenzie Morrison, now 20-0, two draws, 18 KOs. Some of former heavyweight title holder Tommy the Duke Morrison scored a fifth-round TKO over previously undefeated Haseem Rahman Jr. Remember Haseem Rahman? He came on the show like minutes after he knocked out Lennox Lewis down there in South Africa. Remember that? He knocked Lennox out. He was on the show like an hour later. Stan Hoffman got him on the show, I think, an hour later. Stan Hoffman. But he was on the show. He was talking about how he was from Washington, D.C. He was a big underdog. Nobody gave him a chance. Much like they didn't give a chance to Buster Douglas. But I interviewed both guys going into the fight because I thought they both had, you know, when you're inviting for the World Heavyweight Championship, you deserve some press. You deserve some accolades. You deserve some attention from the media. Buster Douglas fought for the heavyweight title against Mike Tyson. Everybody thought it was like a foregone conclusion. He didn't have a chance. Absolutely no chance, right? Wrong. He knocked out Mike Tyson. Never forget what Jim Lampley said. The most poignant words he's ever said, I think, on television. Lampley had a lot of different opportunities, of course, in like a couple of decades plus with HBO, when he said, quote, "Mike Tyson has been knocked out." That was probably the most dramatic point in HBO boxing history, without a doubt. Straight up, let's talk about the fights. Back to Bob Arum casting doubt on Terrence Crawford's mental fortitude, his strength, this and that. You know, Bob, I think, is being sued right now. This is probably not helping his lawsuit. I think Terrence Crawford is suing him, trying to say that Bob was a bit of a racist and this and that. You know, I don't think Bob's a bit of a racist. Bob's an opportunist. In other words, if Bob can be pro-black one day, he'll be pro-black. If he be anti-black or not, sort of neutral the next day, he'll be neutral. In other words, he'll go any way the wind is blowing. Of course, that's the way he does things. Bob Arum, of course, is the master promoter, class of 1958, Harvard University. Of course, the top lawyer in that class at Harvard Law School in 1958. I can't remember what the title was, cum laude or something like that. But the bottom line is, Arum is no dummy. And he's like 89 years old now, and he's still rocking and rolling. And unlike Don King, of course, the wire-haired wonder down there in Florida or in Cleveland, no matter, depending on the day of the week, I believe, he isn't rocking and rolling. I mean, he's got Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan's going to defend a portion of the heavyweight title, the WBA heavyweight title. I thought that Oleg Usyk had that. Anyway, bottom line is, Bryan's going to defend that title, I think, in the next couple of weeks, of course. And, you know, who really cares? I mean, but Don King, the wire-haired wonder, is still the promoter of note, I mean, for that fight. But is he a promoter of note in today's world? Not really. I tried to tell his daughter the nice way that that last show we had wasn't representative of the world's greatest promoter. Of course, P.T. Barnum was considered the world's greatest promoter until Don King came along. Of course, Don called himself the world's greatest promoter. Shakur Stevenson saying something like he's never been in there with anybody as strong as Valdez with that type of will. I think he's right. I think that Oscar Valdez is going to put forth a decent effort, a good effort, and I'm going to go right now. I'm going to probably go against the grain. A 9-1 favorite. I feel bad. 9-1. I mean, that's like no chance. I remember when I had no chance of Keith Rucker. They sent all those promoters down there. Don Chargan sent a guy down. Foreign Boxing sent a couple guys up. This and that. Some Arizona company sent a couple people up. Guess what? Keith Rucker didn't win none. That's what my mother told me. Guess what? There's all these promoters are here tonight, Pete. All these boxing guys. And you know what your trainer just told me? I said, what, Mom? They're not here to see you. Man, 12 seconds later, they're there to see me. Bottom line is Keith Rucker didn't win that night. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Who do I think is next up for Tyson Fury? They talked about Francis Ngannou. Evidently, he got in the ring and he said some MF words and that kind of good stuff. Sort of ruined the post-fight interview as far as Tyson Fury was concerned. But Fury's willing to entertain something like that because I think he doesn't. I think he realizes he's a free agent as far as boxing is concerned, and Ngannou is a free agent. I thought that Ngannou was going to go the route of John Jones. John Jones, of course, another free agent from the UFC. Everybody's looking to get away from that pimp Dana. And why do I say him? He's a pimp. In my opinion, he's a pimp because when I was a cop, pimps couldn't get away with giving their girls that kind of money. What I mean by that is if a pimp got a girl to go out and do a favor for $100, he couldn't get her to work to keep $10 of that. I mean, he'd have to give her more than 10 or 12 bucks. He just would have. But Dana White doesn't have to. Dana White can give you 10 to 12 bucks on the 100, and guess what? It's just got to go that way because I'm the only guy in town. Of course, Bellator, we thought that Bellator was going to rock and roll when they had all that MTV money. Speaking of MTV, is MTV even on TV anymore? Anyway, they had all this MTV money backing them up, Bellator MMA, and Scott Coker, of course, the CEO of Bellator, he couldn't get it going. He just couldn't get, I don't know what happened there, man. He couldn't get it going. I mean, they appear once in a while on TV, but Bellator's not even a major force in MMA anymore. Speaking of MMA, let's go to the world of the UFC. Of course, the guys with no talent, no drive. They don't have any talent. They don't. I mean, tonight they've got a main event going with Rob Font in a catchweight, 538 pounds, meaning one guy came in overweight. He will have to forfeit 20% of his purse. He's taking on veteran Marlon Vera. Font, I think, is the slight favorite here. Andre Arlovski, the two-time heavyweight title holder of the UFC, taking on Jake Collier. Why is that guy still around, man? I mean, what are his brains like after getting beat on for like 15, 20 years in the world of mixed martial arts? Andrew Feely in a featherweight bout, 145 pounds, taking on Joe Anderson Brito. As far as the rest of the card is concerned, I'm not seeing any names to note because there aren't any names to note. The UFC is hurting for stars. There are no stars. And look at the rest of their... Justin Gaethje is going to fight next week against Rob Oliveira. I believe Jay Blackowitz is going to tend to defend the title on May the 14th, the light heavyweight title. But, you know, Jay Blackowitz, no big thing there. He's just got the title. Holly Holmes is going to go on May the 21st, because the preacher's daughter from Albuquerque, New Mexico, May 21st from the Apex Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. Her MMA comeback of sorts. I really think it's time for her, like, to walk away. I mean, I did a lot of her fights as a professional boxer. She was a queen. She was a star of Albuquerque in that area. I mean, the casinos would pack. We packed those casinos. I think the only fight she ever lost as a pro, she lost as a pro boxer. She got cut in the eye, didn't want to continue, didn't want to mess her face up, I believe. But the bottom line is, you know, she drew, like, 10,000-12,000 people. That girl could draw down there in Albuquerque, okay? And then, of course, she went over to the world of mixed martial arts. And she took on Ronda Rousey. And everybody said, you know, she's going to get drilled by Ronda. She's going to get killed by Ronda. But, you know, Ronda didn't deal with the fact that she has a little bit of ground game. I mean, the preacher's daughter has a ground game. She's not just a straight-up boxer. She had some MMA background. She wasn't like, hey, I got introduced to MMA like Carissa Shields and decided I'm going to, you know, fight MMA a year later. No. She had an MMA background. At the end of the day, she destroyed Ronda Rousey and just destroyed it. Destroyed the myth of Ronda Rousey. Of course, Ronda, famous for that judo, and that's all she had was a judo. In fact, she was looking for that arm bar or that leg lock. You knew what was happening. If she couldn't get either of those, she couldn't win. Talking about Ronda Rousey. So what happened? They studied her. They studied her. Holly Holm, those people. They studied Louis, Fresquez. Lenny Fresquez, his promoter, her manager, her promoter down there in New Mexico. They studied her. They studied her. And they came up with a game plan to beat her. And, of course, and then instead of waiting for the rematch with Ronda Rousey for the big money, they decided, they came on this show. Lenny Fresquez, her manager, came on the show and said, no, we're going to fight Misha Tate because I want to. That's what he said, because I want to. We want to do what we want. We want to do what Dana wants. And that might have been a mistake at that one point in time. Although I'm game for calling Dana on power. I mean, I'm game for Lenny making a move. It was just the wrong move at the wrong time because Holly Holm ended up getting beat by Misha Tate, and it was decisive. At the end of the night, she wasn't the champion anymore. Of course, Misha Tate would go on and fight her. I mean, Misha Tate's a nice fighter, but at that point in time, Holly Holm didn't need to fight her. Holly Holm could have done a rematch with Ronda Rousey, would have done record numbers in the world of mixed martial arts, record numbers in pay-per-view. But Lenny Fresquez and Holly Holm had to have their own way. At the end of the night, they lost. I'm looking at the rest of the schedule. Nothing coming up. Glover Teixeira, of course, he's still like around 38, 39 years old. June the 11th, he's going to go. That's going to come from Singapore, and that'll be a light heavyweight fight, UFC 275. Outside of that, there are no stars on the lineup, none whatsoever, because they don't have any stars. At the end of the day, Francis Ngannou, as I said, is a free agent. He'll be out of there pretty soon. John Jones doesn't want to fight anymore. He's probably the best pound-for-pound fighter in all of mixed martial arts. So what does Dana have? Dana ain't got much. At the end of the night, couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Looking at some of the Sons of Legends last night, of course, as I said, Haseem Rahman Jr. getting knocked out by Tommy Morrison's son. And of course, Rahman now 12-1, 6 KOs. Of course, Tommy the Duke Morrison, man, good guy, no doubt about that. In 1995, I called one of his fights with Bert the Hat Sugar, the famous Ring Magazine editor. We were back in Kansas City for that one. And you know what's weird is that Roberto Duran was on that card, and I don't remember it. I mean, I called the Roberto Duran fight, and I don't remember it. So that was a little weird. But that night, that was the night that Bert Sugar says to me, I'm going to do the pay-per-view. We were doing the international pay-per-view. Okay, and the bar pay-per-view. So he said, I'm going to go over and join the other pay-per-view crew and do a couple minutes with them, and I'll be right back. I said, okay. So he split, and he was gone for like an hour, like 45 minutes to an hour. So I'm doing these fights all by myself. No big thing. So he comes back drunk as a skunk, was Bert Sugar. I mean, he was so drunk, I couldn't have got him. Once he sat down in the chair, there was no getting him up. I mean, for a long time, he was. There was no doubt about it. Anyway, of course, that's classic Bert. That's the way Bert rocked. Of course, at the end of the night, of course, that's when Razor Ruddock got knocked down by Tommy Morrison. And I let out the S-H-I-T word live on pay-per-view. It sort of stunned a few people because this was 1995. But hey, when you're shocked, you're shocked. Anyway, Rahman not beating the count against Tommy Morrison's kid. Lightweight Keith, the Bounty Hunter, of course. Remember the Bounty Hunter? I did his father's fights down there in the... At the Irvine Marriott Hotel in Irvine, California. I was working for the Z Channel. Mike the Bounty Hunter, of course, we also went to China together. Mike the Bounty Hunter was a cruiserweight / heavyweight. Pretty good fighter. Very awkward. Anyway, lightweight Keith the Bounty Hunter, 15-1 now, 9 KO, son of former heavyweight champion, heavyweight contender Mike the Bounty Hunter, won an exciting 10-round decision over Demetrius Chucky Hunter. Hunter wore down dry, blah, blah, blah. And the bottom line is he won. Welterweight Roberto Duran, not so fortunate. Roberto Duran Jr., 9-2, 7 KOs. I think he's got Duran's name because he's got Duran's sperm. I mean, Duran like had an affair with his mother or something like that. And that's how this kind of came around. I'm not knocking him. I'm just being true. Anyway, he can't fight. He couldn't lick a stamp. You wet his tongue. The decision last night was 60-44. That means 6 rounds of zip, 58-56. It wasn't a close fight, no doubt about that. Super welterweight, Sharif Rahman, now 6-0, 3 KOs. Son of former heavyweight champion Haseem Rahman, scored a 6-round unanimous nod over Reyes Sanchez. Of course, that was the unanimous nod across the board. And Gerald McCullen Jr. Gerald McCullen was the WBC super middleweight champion at one point in time. In the 1990s, I believe 1995, he ventured over to London, the UK, to take on Nigel Benn in defense of his title. Now, he was a guy that came down from like 190 pounds to 168 pounds in the last week and a half. That's just the way he did it, okay? He took off incredible amounts of weight. Anyway, he was also a guy that got into a beef with, and a lot of guys got into beefs with Emmanuel Stewart over money because Emmanuel had these contracts where he was the manager, and then he would have one of the Kronk guys do the training. So Emmanuel would take his 33% cut off the top, and then he would take his trainer's cut because he had one of the Kronk guys training him. Anyway, Gerald McCullen didn't like that. He ended up fleeing the Kronk ship. Of course, he went as an independent across the pond to take on Nigel Benn, defense of the WBC super middleweight title. And he knocked Nigel Benn out of the ring in the first round. He knocked him to like, me and my producer about 15 feet apart. He almost knocked him half the way out. He knocked him out of the ring. Almost knocked him to the fourth row, okay? And guess what? They allowed Nigel Benn enough time to collect himself and come back, of course. And then Nigel Benn, credit to him, I mean, he did come back. And Gerald McCullen had shot his wad, per se. And from that point forward, he was fighting on fumes. And when you're fighting on fumes after making weight, it's not good. At the end of the night, the brain fluid was such that when he took a couple of punches, he went down. He never got up. Gerald was never the same. Of course, he had to spend a couple of months in a hospital over there in the UK. I spent some time with him, I guess, around 2004 when Jerry Cooney, the former heavyweight contender, heavyweight title challenger against Larry Holmes back in 1982. But Jerry Cooney and I went to Rockport, Illinois, and I think that's where he's from. I'm talking about Gerald, and we did an exhibition, not exhibition. We did some a fundraising thing for him and Greg Page, a former heavyweight champ who passed away a couple of years ago. He had ring injuries as well. But the bottom line is Gerald was hurt that night, and he said to me, you know, and he pulls me real close to him. He says, Pedro, is Emmanuel coming? Is Emmanuel coming? And I told him, I don't know if Emmanuel's coming. I don't know. He might be here. I didn't know how to say no. I didn't know how to say no because he was really, really moved by it. Of course, Emmanuel Stewart and he broke apart. Had Emmanuel Stewart and him not broke apart, in my opinion, Gerald McCullen would not be in the condition he's in today. And why do I say that? Because after that first round, the fight was over. The fight was over. Had Gerald had the correct corner, that fight would have been stopped. In other words, I don't care what anybody says. You can't knock a guy out of the ring and let him not stay out of the ring 15, 25, 30, 40, whatever that long that count was. He was out there a long time. I mean, he could have had lunch out there. Could have had lunch delivered. He was out there so long. But at the end of the day, the British referee said, nah, it's okay. We'll let it go. It's okay. We'll let it go. And then Nigel Benn came back to win, of course, winning a depleted Gerald McCullen, just basically just fell apart. Couldn't put it together anymore, of course. And when he fell down, I was looking at him, and I said to myself, this isn't good. I mean, you can see, I've seen ring deaths. I remember when Johnny Montanez died in front of me in Las Vegas. I mean, his head bounced on the canvas, and I just knew he was dead. You just knew it. And of course, Rico Velasquez Jr., when he died down there in San Jose, California, I went to the referee just before the fight, just before the round in which he died. I went to the referee and said, quote, Hank, you got to stop the fight. He's killing him. I'm talking about David Gonzalez. He was killing Rico Velasquez Jr. I go, he's killing him. Hank, you got to stop the fight. You got to stop the fight. I mean, I was almost in tears because Rico had been knocked down 8 or 9 times, 5 or 6 times officially. I mean, he was getting destroyed. Oh, my God, it wasn't pretty. Anyway, turns out Rico had some convulsions in the gym 6 weeks before this fight, so he was damaged because his brain was bad. And in the 10th round, about 45 seconds after I asked Hank to please stop the fight, when the referee's answer was to me, son, go sit down and let me do my job. And I told him, but man, you're not doing your job. And then he stepped out. 40 seconds later, Rico Velasquez was dead. It wasn't no coincidence. Poor officiating. Of course, Hank Alespri was also the official I accused of having alcohol in his breath. Being a former policeman, I sort of know how to define that. You know, when you have somebody, they've got the aroma of alcohol in their breath, they're acting a little irrational, their eyes are a little bloodshot and red. I mean, you know, this is alcohol. That was Hank Alespri. Of course, that's the way he got in the ring as a referee. And that sort of ticked me off. So I would report him to the Athletic Commission. But the guy that ran the Athletic Commission at the time was Ken Gray. And he was a drunk. So you imagine reporting one alcoholic to another alcoholic who I found together drinking together at Original Joe's down there in San Jose before a fight at the San Jose Civic Auditorium. So I kid you not. So this is the way these people roll. At the end of the day, they're a piece of work. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look in the world of boxing and MMA. Let's roll to the last break.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
Remember your favorite movie moments? Ever thought about collecting them and connecting with your favorite creators? Now you can turn that wish into a reality with Real 8. Real 8 is an inaugural NFT marketplace for fans to collect exclusive behind-the-scenes moments. With Real 8, you can access unique experiences like meeting the cast and crew live. Visit real8.com/USA now to join a community of like-minded fans and get even closer to the films you love. Don't miss the latest NFT drop. Check out real8.com/USA. That's R-E-E-L, the number 8.com/USA.
A quick wrap-up here on Ring Talk Live. We're on Wide Across the Saturday edition. Don't forget the Sunday edition coming to 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. 2 hours of Ring Talk Live worldwide will feature the retired HBO godfather, Larry Merchant, Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, live on these same channels.